Okay, so let us start. So as usual, we're going to give a few minutes of basic instructions, and then we'll try it out in practice afterwards. So with meditation practice, as with the entire spiritual path, if you like, there's kind of two facets to it. And the facet is the one thing which is the thing that attracts you to the meditation practice, the happiness, the joy you get from that, on the one hand, and that is a very important part to make the meditation work, to have a clarity about the happiness that you can encounter and somehow give rise to that happiness and joy in your meditation practice. And on the other hand, there is the understanding the unreliability and the problematic aspect of the world outside, if you like, the world of the five senses. And this, when you have these two things together, one is like, they're both related to wisdom, but one is more like wisdom faculty, understanding the inherent problems of the external world, and the other hand is more like understanding happiness, where happiness lies. And when those two things come together, you are moving towards meditation, and you are letting go of the external world at the same time. That is where you really have a chance of going deep in a meditation practice. Letting go of those things that are problematic and moving towards those places where real happiness is attainable from a Buddhist perspective in your meditation. And there's many ways of doing this. There's many ways of reflecting on the Dhamma in such a way that you kind of let go a little bit of the external world. Yeah, you let go of the five senses. And one of the ways of doing this is to use what in Buddhism is called the three characteristics of existence. Three characteristics being impermanence, suffering, and non-self. And you can use any of these characteristics to reflect on the world outside. One of the reflections you can use, non-self, helps you again to let go. The idea of non-self is in many ways very profound, but also it can be used in very simple ways to help us in our meditation practice. Because one of the things about non-self, one of the things that it means is that it means that we are not really in control of the world. Yeah, the world comes and goes according to its own conditions. The things outside, the relationships we have, anything that happens in the realm of the five senses, all of that happens according to its own cause and conditions. There's very little we can do to control that. This is an aspect of non-self. You can't really control the external world. If you want to control anything, then much better to look for your inner world. That's where we have some chance of doing something with that inner world. So that is the first thing. The world is not really controllable. So it kind of turns you off the will, the doer. And this is an aspect of non-self. You're turning away from that. But the other thing, which is kind of problematic about this idea of controlling and trying to be in charge of things, is that we don't often know where real happiness lies. Sometimes you come to Buddhist meditation, you get some good happiness and think, wow, this is it. Here I found some good, really profound happiness of a very different type than I found in the external world. I didn't even know it existed before. Before I was looking in the wrong place. So the problem with the will is that often it cannot affect change, and also it is inherently unreliable because it doesn't really know where happiness, where contentment, where peace is to be found in the first place. And once you realize that, you're not so interested anymore in the will. In fact, you start to realize that letting go of the will, allowing things to come to peace, letting go of trying to organize things, to sort things out, to create happiness for yourself, actually, that is the place to turn. Turn away from the world, turn inwards instead. And that is the other aspect, is the understanding that when you let go of the will, you actually start to find happiness in your meditation practice. So this is like the carrot. The stick is seeing that the world is not controllable. The carrot is understanding that happiness is where the mind becomes peaceful, where you allow the mind to calm down. All the doing kind of get that out of the way here, and then my things become peaceful. And this is another aspect of non-self. Because non-self, when you meditate, you become peaceful, there's less things going on inside of you, less things going on in your mind, things are becoming more peaceful, you're letting go of stuff, there's less sense of self there. And you see this beautiful teaching of non-self in practice. Yeah, you see how it actually works in practice, and you say, wow, actually, this is really beautiful, this is powerful, this is a lot of happiness to be had in this. So you notice that, you notice the peace that comes from not doing, not having any activity, and your mind kind of inclines in that direction. So remember, sometimes it's very useful to remember and recall experiences you had in the past, yeah, when you had some extra peace in your meditation, and recognize that the reason why it was nice was because there was less will there was less sense of self, there was less doing, and as you let go of that, you actually found a different kind of happiness, far more powerful than any happiness that you normally find. So by using these two things, you let go of the external world and you are attracted to the inner world. Two things coming together, the attraction to happiness and the movement away from things that are not really satisfactory and even suffering. And that is where meditation really starts to happen. This is again a way of using, if you like, wisdom or insight into these teachings. Whether you take it on confidence or whether you have some degree of insight yourself, doesn't really matter. You use that to then guide the mind in the right direction. Okay. This is a short introduction for you, so let's just try this out in practice and see what happens. Okay, so as always, just start off by sitting down comfortably and make sure you have a nice and comfortable position. Close your eyes, and as you close your eyes, you are shutting out so much of the world, which enables you to feel your body much better. So make sure you take that time just to be at ease and comfortable. Make sure that you have no tensions anywhere. Let's take the time just to relax, ease into the present moment, and just enjoy just sitting, plain old sitting, nothing else. as you go about your meditation practice, always make sure that you take plenty of time just to settle down and feel the ease of the body and also the ease of the mind. This is so important for the meditation to become comfortable and easeful. And one of the most important things to enable this is the attitude you have right now. You have to have an attitude of kindness and gentleness and compassion. And when you have that sense of beautiful attitude inside of yourself, that is where relaxation is truly possible. One of the great ways of doing this is to dedicate your meditation practice as a gift towards the whole world, including yourself. In this way, it becomes less selfish, because our meditation practice will always affect other people. It's such a beautiful way of letting go of the kind of constricted, confined view of just doing things for ourselves. So make this a gift. And when you make it a gift in the right way, it also becomes gentle and kind at the same time. And as you do this, make sure that you open up your heart to everyone else. Share your meditation with everyone in the whole world. Know that what you're doing now has a beneficial effect on everyone. Share with everyone. Don't just constrain it to yourself. Don't make it narrow and small. Make it large and vast. And as you give up that sense of self, it becomes far more beautiful, far more powerful inside. See the effect of that. See the effect it has on your body and mind. And if you get it right, it feels peaceful, it feels beautiful, and it pushes you in the right direction towards better meditation practice. as you start to get peaceful, please notice how beautiful it is just to go inside of oneself and to stay with that peace outside, inside, and leave all the noise and the problems of the external world. Leave them aside. Not worry about them. Just let them be. And the more you reflect on that, the more you understand, not just is the external world noisy and problematic, it is also inherently uncontrollable. You can't really do much about it. So all you can really do is let it be and move in a different direction. Let go of all that stuff. All that stuff which is not really possible to control. Why hold on to that? Let it be. Allow it to go and turn inward to this beautiful feeling of peace inside. You understand that the letting go of the external world is exactly the same thing as turning towards the peace inside. It's a letting go. Letting go of the doer, letting go of the controller. Trusting in the peace. Seeing where true happiness really lies. And as you find that ease of the body, the movement inside, the letting go of the world, the sharing with everyone else, there comes a point when you find that everything is so at ease, so relaxed and so easy. And that is usually the time when the breath is also very relaxed. When everything is in that state, that is usually the right time to watch the breath and to follow the breath along, to go deeper into the meditation practice. It's almost as if you are watching the sunset. When you watch the sunset, you're just sitting there completely passive, enjoying what is happening. In the same way, when you watch the breath, you're just passive, enjoying the breath as it is happening right now. getting very close to the end of the meditation. And before we come to the end, just ask yourself, how do you feel now? And if you feel more peaceful and more at ease, if you feel more still and more mindful, then ask yourself why that is the case. What is the outlook that you have chosen? What are the perceptions that you have given rise to that support the meditation practice? Okay, so that's the end of the meditation for now. Okay, are there any comments or questions, anything anyone has? This is your chance. Okay, is there anything from outside of the... Yeah? Okay, so we'll take the ones from the outside. Great, thank you. Okay, so these two questions from overseas. First one is from Nita in Amsterdam. If I was lucky enough to enter a jhana, what would happen if they woke me up? Okay, so it's not as if you get woken up. It's a very different state from being asleep. When you are asleep, you lose your mindfulness, and that's why you feel quite groggy afterwards. And in jhana is the exact opposite. You don't really get woken up. But I guess what you mean is you get pulled out of the jhana is probably what you mean. And depending on the depth of the jhana experience, if it's very deep, they won't even be able to pull you out. You will be stuck, happily stuck in the jhana experience for long, long periods of time. You can imagine, it's just like whenever you have a nice meditation practice, if somebody tries to pull you out, it can be quite unpleasant. You don't want to be pulled out because you're so happy there. Yeah, so it's almost like torturing somebody to pull them out of a nice meditation practice. So the more deep your meditation is, the less you are willing to be pulled out by somebody. So it's good to leave people in peace if they are meditating. That's the whole point of meditating in groups and being far away and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to have anything to do with the world anymore. You let go of that world because you realize it's problematic. Okay, the second one is from Anne in Vietnam. How can I maintain mindfulness at work? Because I see many distractions and wandering thoughts. You don't really have... It depends on what you mean by mindfulness, because mindfulness has many different levels, many different qualities. There is the kind of mindfulness that you get when your meditation becomes profound, and that sort of mindfulness, you can never really expect to keep that up in ordinary life. The kind of mindfulness that you need is you need enough mindfulness to know what you are doing. Yeah? Am I speaking in the right way? Am I being moral? Am I being kind? Am I doing the right thing? If you have enough mindfulness to know whether you are living well or living badly, whether you're being kind or whether you're being nasty, whether you are coming from wholesomeness or unwholesomeness, that is really all you need. That's enough mindfulness. Because if you're able to live with kindness through your daily life, with a wholesome mind, with good intentions, that is the support for meditation practice. even if you are just mindful but not really worrying about whether your mind is unwholesome or wholesome, that's not going to be all that supportive. It is sila, it is morality that is the real support for meditation practice. That's what you should be focusing on. So just have enough mindfulness for that. So are you able to do that? Are you able to be kinder? Sometimes we lose even that much mindfulness. Yeah, suddenly you find yourself being very angry about something. But that is what you should strive for. Have enough mindfulness. Focus on your mind. Focus on your speech and your actions. And then look at that. And then you will have plenty of support for your meditation when you start to go on retreats or whatever it is. Okay. So that is all for now. So let's just pay homage to the Triple Gem.